Next item.
Yes, sir.
Next item on the agenda is Crescent Cove Condominium Unit Owners Association. Back at it. Go ahead.
Okay, so now we're in the city of Chesapeake, where you are acting as the wetlands.
I love the way she gives us a tour. That's great. Go ahead.
The city of Chesapeake has rescinded their wetlands board ordinance, so you will be acting as the board for them. This private property is located along the eastern branch of Elizabeth River, where they're requesting authorization to remove 62 linear feet of their existing failing bulkhead and replace it in the same alignment along the eastern branch of Elizabeth. So this is a private property that owns the entire peninsula here. Currently, the property is bulkheaded around the entire area. Sand is filling on this area of the river ahead, which is protecting the existing bulkhead. But the project is along this shoreline here. So you can see the property line. Oh, did I forget? Oh, sorry. Would you like me to continue with that one, which was going to be the next agenda?
Yes, go ahead. Okay. Continue with that one.
Thank you, Tammy. We're already halfway through it, so. Okay, so they have an existing bulkhead. The existing bulkhead is failing. As a result of the failure, mean high water can fall behind the failing bulkhead, so this portion of the project is within the wetlands board jurisdiction.
Okay.
So there is a total of about 190 linear feet of bulkhead along this side of the shoreline. It's 60 feet that they want to replace, and 140 square feet is where the wetlands board jurisdiction actually is. So here you can see the cross section where they would like to remove the failing structure and replace a bulkhead within the original alignment. Again, removing the failing structure, filling that small portion of non-vegetated wetlands in the same alignment. So the failure of the bulkhead requires maintenance action before additional erosion takes place. Given that the proposed project consists of maintenance and repair work, requiring a living design does not seem appropriate at this time because a living shoreline design would require full removal of the entire structure, which is otherwise functioning. The project will result in a fill of 140 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. Compensation of these impacts is not deemed necessary based on VMRC's wetlands mitigation and compensation policy. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed.
Any questions? Zeph, I'm sorry.
And so it's 200 feet that's failing. Out of how many?
So 62 feet is failing.
Okay.
And there's on just this side of the shoreline, there is around 190 linear feet. So they are proposing to me to repair about one-third of the structure.
And does it look like the integrity of the remaining footage might be soon to be... I guess my question is this kind of a piecemeal approach to maintain and repair certain sections?
It is. I think it's a Band-Aid to, you know, every bulkhead's going to need to be replaced eventually, and this is a Band-Aid for this entire structure. What this property has going for them is this growing sand spit here, and with this growing sand spit, it's some nice vegetation in front of it, which is protecting this portion of the shoreline. So really, the only portion left that's open to open water is down this way here.
And can you just highlight on that map where the actual 62 feet is?
Yeah. So it's between points B and points A. And if you look at this, this here is the existing structure.
Further questions? Thank you. Is the applicant present or represented? Good. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
State your name, please. Raise your right hand.
Richard Calvert, Calvert Marines.
Calvert, you solemnly swear the testimony you give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
Yes, sir.
Proceed, please.
This is an existing bulkhead that we're requesting approval to remove and replace 62 linear feet of the wall. There's a small depression behind that area where we have some non-vegetated wetlands. Well, I met out there with the client and the contractor. They wanted to just try and fix just the repair at this time, basically because of a limited budget. I did have a discussion with them that, you know, this is something we would not like to do in the future, and that if you have any more damage along this wall, you're looking at coming in and redoing the entire wall. And they understand, the owner did, but she just didn't have the money to come in and do all of the work that's required. During the project evaluation, we did look at planning options. And as Rachel stated, we would have to remove the portion of the wall, put two return walls on each side, and grade the yard back up into the backyard. And one of the reasons that we thought that would be a difficult thing to do is obviously the cost and the grading in the yard. The impacts are tremendous. And also, it would also create almost a water flume during a storm event where the water would be going to, you know, in the yard, and we just thought that would create more problems. Now, also during the evaluation, too, we had to get involved with the engineer of record because this is Chesapeake, and the engineer wanted to have the discussion on the stability of the wall. Obviously, we're putting back a section that's very good, and we did review the other wall, and it appears that it does have some life in it at this time as well. So we opted to go ahead with just basically a repair and maintenance of the existing wall by removing this and doing it. One more thing that complicated this is when I pulled up the property adjacent to it to look at to see who owned the water out front. It appears that the neighbors have riparian rights to the area in front of the bulkhead. That's what made us go with the decision to go ahead and remove everything because it could be encroaching upon their area. And then the new wall would be put back in line, which is the VMRC recommendation. If you're going to do a bulkhead, you do recommend that we put it back in the same alignment. So with all those reasons and the budget, that's why we opted to go ahead with just a repair and maintenance of the existing wall and replace the 62 feet and move forward. A riprap option might work, but we would have to go out into the water, and that was not an option, being it would be infringing upon the riparian rights of the neighbor next door as well. So we've looked at all our options and just came back with, unfortunately, I know that the board would like to see us go another direction, but sometimes the simplest approach seems to be the most least impactful approach. If you have any questions regarding this project, I would be happy to answer them at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Calvert?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Anyone here in opposition to this project? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission.
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Binder to approve staff recommendations. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Let's go on back to the other place.
All right. It's also in Chesapeake, where you'll be acting as the Chesapeake Wetlands Board for this case as well. This is Crescent Cove Units Owners Association. They're requesting authorization to regrade and install additional riprap to an existing structure, which will be 141 linear feet of repairs of an existing revetment along Crescent Cove Condos along the southern branch Elizabeth River. So here is the condo association and their marina. The entire shoreline around the marina is currently protected by a riprap revetment that comes around this way. And this aerial photo shows you a little bit of the issues that they're experiencing, where at abnormally high tides or during boat wake, so this is also where boats are transiting in and out of the intercoastal. They're experiencing a little bit of erosion of the upland at those high tides and high energy events. So you can see the escarpment here behind the riprap revetment. And so simply what they're proposing to do is to grade the grass, place filter fabric, and increase the footprint of the riprap revetment here. And then they want to protect the upland by going behind the wetlands here and placing a riprap revetment along the escarpment here. And again, behind the existing wetlands, grading back and placing a riprap revetment along this escarpment. And here are the drawings that show the same thing. So this is the existing riprap revetment that wraps around the property. They are going to be adding rock to the landward portion that will extend this way. outside of the above the existing marsh, and again in this landward portion and in this landward portion. So this is going to result in 120 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands that will be covered with rock, and 39 square feet of vegetated wetlands that have popped up behind that revetment. So the property is experiencing erosion during higher than normal tides. The seaward slump of the existing revetment has resulted in an unprotected land revetment transition, which has led to required maintenance of their erosion control structure. Given that the proposed project consists of maintenance and repair work, requiring a living design does not seem appropriate at this time, because a living shoreline design would require full removal of the otherwise functioning structure. The project will result in a fill of 39 square feet of vegetated wetlands. Compensation for that is deemed necessary based off of our wetlands mitigation compensation policy. And the applicant is proposing to purchase 39 square feet of tidal wetlands at the New Mill Creek Tidal Mitigation Bank. Therefore, after evaluating the merits of the project and all the factors contained in 28.2-1302, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed, conditioned upon proof of the purchase of 39 square feet of vegetated wetland credits at the New Mill Creek Tidal Mitigation Bank.
Any questions? Ms. Everett?
So the erosion on the kind of scarp, on the edge on the left there, kind of landward, the riprap, is that coming from landward runoff? Or?
Probably both. And very much, in my opinion, buffer plantings would help this considerably.
But that's not part of the...
Because it's a... So it's outside of our jurisdiction. And it's always a conversation... You know, perhaps not having your grass all the way to the riprap revetment would be helpful.
We can't make that as a permit condition, or
so we could have them plant the portions that are in our jurisdiction, but it wouldn't fix the entire problem. So we only have bits and pieces of the problem that are actually within our jurisdiction. Most of it is outside. So here, so the portion, the 39 square feet, is all of this. This little grass that is a protected grass, it just happens to be growing in between the revetment structure there. This portion is above our wetlands board jurisdiction.
That's my point. Some of this, where you see fill, is actually out of our jurisdiction,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
I guess my question is, we're losing potential habitat or the opportunity for habitat, and it's not really solving the problem. And so just trying to find, again, there's jurisdictional lines which limit the authority and ability, but I'm just wondering if there's any kind of habitat you can to slow at least the landward erosion, stop the problem, create and protect the opportunity for more habitat, and potentially save them money. It's less than riprap.
We can suggest.
That's all we can do.
Unfortunately, that's the problem with our jurisdictional lines.
Yeah. And Ms. Everett, to your point, I've asked Mr. Watkins, and I've received some guidance from my boss, the secretary, pertaining to living shorelines and the application thereof. And I think you're going down that path, which is a good path for us to have a discussion on. I've asked Mr. Watkinson to get us a copy of the letter, so maybe we can look it over at lunchtime or whatever, as far as what he'd like to see. But we're all on the same sheet of music as far as the living shoreline aspect of it. But you just heard the last case, Mr. Calvert, discussing the living shoreline, the pros and cons as to how these things work, but definitely we should be trying to work more toward them when at all possible.
And in this case, I just don't know, you know, so this escarpment that you're looking at here, we don't have authority over it. It's just where you see this vegetation here. So you could require them to perhaps plant here. I don't know if that would actually fix the issue.
Not to mention, it'd be a lot of work to remove that debris to plant in there, but you do it. But anyway, further questions? Thank you, ma'am. Applicant present or represented? Getting a lot of work down there, sir.
Yes, sir,
I am.
You've
been previously sworn, Mr. Calvert.
Yes,
State
sir.
Say for the record for this case, please.
I'm Richard Calvert, representing the Crescent Cove Condominium Unit Owners Association on this application. Once again, this is a repair and maintenance of an existing revetment. It's been there for about 8 years, and it's doing 90% of it is doing great. What we're doing is coming back in over a period of time and fixing the little things that we found have gone wrong over a period of time, which, as the board knows, that, you know, this is something that's going to require maintenance over time. And I will address Ms. Everett's concern. If you see the riprap in the foreground, in the background of the picture where it goes right up against the turf, that's the way it's supposed to be. The issue we have along here is the revetment was installed incorrectly. It wasn't excavated deep enough, and there's no filter cloth. So the intent of our repair is to come in and clean that rock out, dig that down, get the filter cloth back in there, and get that area reinforced. And I'm hopeful that you will never see any more erosion along that edge if it's done correctly. It's very important to get that cloth up beyond the edge of the grass. And I will certainly let the Condominium Association know that you would love to see some sort of a riparian buffer along there as well. I can definitely pass that along.
I know he will.
And other than that, the other area that we're addressing is where they stopped the riprap and did, there was existing wetlands. So we've had a little bit of erosion in there. We came back behind the wetlands and created a new revetment to reinforce that intersection. So this is just cleaning up the existing revetment and giving it, you know, another 10, 20 years of life. And if you have any other questions at this point, yes, ma'am.
Ms. Everett.
Thank you very much for passing on that comment. I think if you don't mind, I think I would put it in the context, too, of a native plant buffer, too. Just, I think some people hear the word buffer and they put azaleas with mulch, and I think I just don't want
right.
Communication. So.
Right. Obviously, it has to be, you know, of a nature that's saltwater tolerant and a native plant. Yes.
Thank you. Further questions? You have another one?
I do have one.
Yeah, go. Have at it.
Since we're digging in. All right. So just the final question, too, the 39 square foot of tidal wetlands that are going to New Mill Creek, there's no on-site opportunity for that mitigation, would there, because that's the preferred?
That is what the guidelines say. It is preferred to do on-site. They would have to grade down. There is a potential to do that if we would like to require them to do that. Just what are your thoughts on?
I would like to note that the wetland grass you see in that picture is right along the jurisdictional line. And in effort of spirit of cooperation, we agreed to go ahead and compensate for that, even though it could be beyond the board's jurisdiction. And the other area is where we're going behind the revetment. I feel like that it's only 29 square feet, and I hate to say that, or 39 square feet. We would have to create another area, probably somewhere on the property, to do that. We just haven't looked at that option right now.
So,
Ms. Everett?
I guess just the question is, like you were saying, Mr. Bowman, that there are lots of complexities here, and just how problematic would that be? How, you know, inconvenient? I know that we're at the 11th hour here in terms of a potential approval, but it just seems that on-site mitigation might allow the condo association to understand more about the value of these and, again, replace habitat in the area where it's been impacted. So
that is the concept for the guidelines. You're absolutely right. It is a possibility. It is increased effort for the contractor to remove. Because in order to do on-site mitigation, you have to remove upland, reduce the elevation of that upland, get the correct slope, and then build your wetlands. So a 40 square foot section would most likely have to be larger just to be able to do that in a scale that's worth it. And so when it comes to the scale of these things, it's generally acceptable that we go to the tidal mitigation bank because it's there, it's functioning, and we know it's functioning. However, it is absolutely in your purview and your authority to approve this with on-site mitigation rather than the tidal mitigation bank.
Mr. Ballard.
I'll make a motion for staff approval with just the thought that I think this application is done professionally done. They seem to have an excellent agent, put a lot of thought into it. And at the end of the day is really, in my mind, a revision, repair sort of project, not brand new. And I hesitate to think that if we're too draconian sort of in nature on some of these things, that we might not get these types of applications that come before us. They just get done. And so I hate to go too far, and I'm moving to approve staff recommendation.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this project? Motion made by Mr. Ballard to approve with staff recommendation. There's a second. Second by Mr. Zedrin. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a noon hour. We have two cases that appear to be likely not long cases, if I were to guess. We want to go ahead and do those, and then after the conservation fund case, we will then, after lunch, take up Robert James McBride, which is a oyster planting ground application protested by a number of nearby protesters. So let's proceed with those two, and we'll break for lunch after those.